from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast that says, you know, it's nice to be important, but it's important to be nice. Like, and never, you know, that's from Punch and Judy. Never more important than being important to be, you know, important. It's important for me laying no time for sleep with me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and I actually need you to listen to this message. If you're a regular listener, sleep with me. If you're new, don't worry about it. But we've got some big decisions with the show on the horizon, so I really, really need your help. If you are a regular listener, sleep with me, and it has changed how you sleep, you rely on the show, you like the show, it does something for you, or you feel good about the podcast, you like it, or you count on it, I really got to ask you to take action. So if Sleep With Me means something to you, or you like it, if you can afford to support the show directly, or you're willing to consider up giving up one takeout lunch a month to support Sleep With Me, try out a trial of Sleep With Me Plus and test out Sleep With Me Plus over the 7-day trial and just see what you think. But I think you'll find you'll be blown away, because it's just there's so many different ways to listen to Sleep With Me and stuff like that. So if you think you can afford to support the show, please do that at Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And if it doesn't make a difference to you, like it's like I can move on to something else if you stop making the show, or you decide to put out way, way less episodes, or you change what you're doing, I totally am fine with that. That's fine. But if Sleep With Me really does make a difference for you, I mean, I love making the show. I don't like being direct, because I usually get way more not nice emails when I'm direct about stuff. But I don't want to put out a message like 3 months from now and be like, you know what, we're changing things up, and we've made some hard decisions. I want you to be a part of this decision-making process, because it's really like the other time Sleep With Me's been in this place, it's just taken being direct and saying, hey, if you care about the show, I need you to think about doing something about it. So think about it. It'll be cool. Like, I trust that there's enough of you out there that get so much out of the show, because I've heard from you before. So yeah, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, or take one of those other actions. And what do you say we get on with the show? Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz. Got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box, straight straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. I also want to thank Chris Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful Studios, who did our theme music, Carl W. the Legend, who edited this episode, Jonathan Mann's Honor Lullabies, Scotty and Jennifer Honor Artwork, I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter. Can't thank you enough, listeners. Also want to thank the moderators of the listener Facebook group, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, N-O-D-S. I want to thank Summer and Sarah, Julie, Jennifer, Stacey, Lauren, Keith. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, you've been like tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it the bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to do is try to create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, you know, stuff on your mind, stuffing. While it's not the stuffing season, you know, you could have, like, what if someone's just walking around with a box of, like, the dehydrated stuffing? Well, one, I don't even know if it's dehydrated. Plus, is that a weird way? Did I just say dehydrated weird? Dehydrated. Is it dehydrated? It's dehydrated because the hydration's been dehydrated out of there. Just like I've been let me get back to this, to stuffing and dehydration. Somebody remind me. If you're new here, welcome. So I'm going to create a safe place. I hope you feel welcome. I'm glad you're here. And I'm going to try to distract you from whatever it is that's keeping you awake, whether, like, any of the stuff I just mentioned, which I almost just repeated. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing tones. Like, obviously, clearly, if you just heard the last 4 seconds, pointless meanders, you know, I'm distracted, focused distraction, like, that's also unfocused, in waffling, no waffles, but waffling. How about dehydrated waffles? That was probably breakfast cereal. Okay, now, like, when I try to remember something, I cross my fingers, so now I have two sets of fingers crossed, describing things that, like, are, you know, describing things like crossing my fingers, indulgent descriptions, maybe, I don't know, maybe that's not the right word. But if you're new, welcome. Tonight's episode's about Game of Thrones. If you don't listen to Game of Thrones, if you don't watch Game of Thrones, there may be some spoilers in there, but it's a really lulling, meandering, a tamed down episode recap, and then, like, a bunch of extra stuff. So, you know, check it out. Structurally, if you're new, here's the structure of the show. You've made it thus far. It starts out with 5 or 6 minutes of business. That's how we pay to host the show for free, keep the show free. Also host our giant archives for free. And, like, that's how we bring you the show, with listener support and sponsor support. So if you're new, not super critical, and if you want to skip that, that was the timers, and the time is in the show notes. If you're a regular listener, please, tomorrow when you put your hand on the fridge, remember that's how we bring you the show for free. So say, geez, what were the sponsors last night? What was the jingle about? Do I want to support the show? Just remember that. But if you're new, not that important. Then we're in an intro. The intros are about 12 minutes where I ramble and try to explain what the podcast is. You can skip those. A large portion of the listeners like the intros either to soothe animals, you know, so their animals know to get in bed, or their stuffed. You know who loves the intros? Stuffed animals. Here's, I don't have enough fingers to cross, but what about dehydrated stuffed animals? In a serial form. Holy cow. I hope my lawyer's listening, Quinn, because I think we need this. Anyway, so let's see. Wait, now I'm distracted. So if you're new, the intros are long and rambly. You could skip straight ahead to the Game of Thrones content. That's the timestamp that's in the show notes. Yeah, a lot of listeners like this to get ready for bed or to fall asleep to. So it's kind of a show within a show. And I think that's it. And then we'll talk about Game of Thrones. Segment-wise, we'll talk about the episode. It'll be vanilla and rambly and ridiculous. Then we'll talk about any facts that I had questions about in the episode. This will be a recap, actually. This is going to be a recap of the season, I think. Recording this intro ahead of time. So actually, we'll probably just run through my thoughts about the season or any facts that came up that I didn't like. Then we'll have a visit from Tom and Sir Pounce. Then we'll do the prayers to old gods and the new, and then we'll thank some people. So that's the structure of the episodes. And yeah, so I'll be here. This is a podcast. You don't really need to listen to it. I'm going to try to distract you. So you just kind of bear it. You say, oh yeah, even if you don't listen and watch Game of Thrones, you say, okay, I can pitch. I've been to a Renaissance fair. I'm with you. I've seen soap operas or whatever. Okay. You say they're brother and sister, huh? Okay. Well, most listeners better listeners that are in a relationship that I hear from. That's like the breakfast conversation. They say, what was Scoots talking about last night? I think he bought a food dehydrator, and he's trying to dehydrate breakfast cereal. You say, really? That's what he was talking about? Maybe, or maybe he just kept saying Cheerio, and doffing. I think he was doing his, he doffs his cap a lot, and it's the only podcast with doffing of caps. Well, honey, no, I listen to the CapCast, and they doff their caps there. But now, you said he's dehydrated? I thought breakfast cereal was already dehydrated. I wonder, maybe we could dehydrate. So, do you think that's how the Lucky Charms got so lucky, is he dehydrates? Do you think those are dehydrated marshmallows? Oh, honey, you really are brilliant. Holy cow. You're saying we should try to dehydrate marshmallows. I think we should. What about the mini marshmallows and cocoa? Those are dehydrated. I never would have thought about this. Wow, that's Scoots. Sometimes he's onto something. So he probably shouldn't, but we should probably get a hold of him and tell him not to dehydrate the cereal part, just the sweet part. Well, honey, you know Scoots. He probably shouldn't have a vegetable or food dehydrator anyway. You know how he gets. Well, you're right. Maybe we should dehydrate some marshmallows and maybe we should just you look great. You must have slept great. Oh, I did, honey. It was great. I slept so good. I was dreaming of, I don't know what I was dreaming of. I think I was dreaming of cobblestones and someone saying Cheerio to cobblestones. I think that was Scoots. Oh, you know what? That's strange. I was dreaming of hobblestones. So I think Scoots might have been calling them hobblestones, because when you're walking on cobblestones, you're kind of hobbling. Yeah, I wonder if he said hobnobbing when he doffed his cap. Let's go into the garage and get that food dehydrator out, and let's go to the store and get some marshmallows, and let's get to it, and hey, everybody, I'm back. Sorry about that. So if you're new, that's what you have to look forward to. Is those kind of conversations at breakfast. Well rested. Did you hear how well rested that generic couple was? And I don't know about you, but I heard the kind of things that would make Gottman smile. I don't know. I wasn't really listening to what they were saying, to be honest. I was thinking about those marshmallows, and that they were right though. That I shouldn't have a food dehydrator. So. Yeah, they seemed nice, though. I liked the way that couple sounded. So if you're new, I guess that's it. So it's a podcast to put you to sleep. But here's the other thing. You shouldn't feel any pressure to fall asleep. I'll be here for these Game of Thrones episodes. They're long, and I'll be here the whole time, giving it my all, my A-double-L, which is, which in every other context on the planet Earth and in Westeros, any continents on any planets would not be, in this context, when I give it my all, it really works. Other places, Clearly. I mean, I just had an imaginary couple that lives in my mind tell me I'm not capable of using a food dehydrator. And they're right. I mean, let's, you know, also don't send me any food dehydrators. I know there's like jokers out there. I mean, if you do have one and you can risk it, dehydrate some marshmallows and send us some pictures. I would like to know. I mean, finally, the great cereal barons, we could break their, like, we could break the monopoly. You know, we could get, like, no, how about this one? No-Ed cereal. The No-Ed Corporation is not responding to me since I talked about coming out with No-Ed Europe, No-Ed EU. I think probably because they're secretly owned by the sunscreen barons, but this would be the cereal barons, you know, the generals in the, Are the Parker brothers, they're board game barons, not cereal barons. Whoever else, you know, that tiger and the rest of them. We can and the cocoa baron. I don't think there are any cocoa barons anymore. I think what happened, this was another book I was thinking about writing, The Hot Cocoa Glut. But it turns out I didn't know what glut. It's as soon as you start being able to get hot cocoa at breakfast buffets at hotels, You just wait. This is going to be a me and Robert Reich's podcast, the imaginary one. You know, when we trace this back, sponsored by No-Ed. And like once they started giving away, once you could get as much, like once you could take as many hot cocoa packets as you wanted, the bottom fell out of the hot cocoa market. No one talks about this stuff with me. And if you're new, you probably know why, because it hopefully took your mind off whatever is keeping you awake. And I'm willing to bet it did. And you say, I wasn't thinking about stuff, but I don't even know what this guy's talking about either. And it almost kind of makes sense. And that's kind of the key. Like I said, contextually, like this is a place where that works. I'm not an inventor. I'm a near inventor. I nearly have invented things. And most of them are within my imagination. Yeah, what do you want to do when you grow up? Be like a faux inventor. You're misusing faux. F. Okay, a near inventor. That's right, teacher in my brain. Can't come back from that one. So anyway, if you're new, I hope you feel welcome. I hope you don't feel any pressure because this podcast does not work for everybody. Clearly, you know, if you hold a majority stake in cocoa, cereal, or board games, you know, you may consider me your... nemesis. Don't worry about it. I'm incompetent. So also I spend a ton of money on those products. So if you're new, I'm glad you're here. Give it a few tries. The podcast doesn't work for everybody. It's silly, strange. And, you know, but most of the listeners have said, well, after second or third time, I realized the harmlessness, senselessness of this podcast. And I can't, you know, then I started having those conversations. Also, I'm just looking on my phone here. Even though this podcast is recorded, food dehydrator sales have shot up by 0.4% in my general vicinity. Oh, that's because there's a lot of garage sales today. Okay, so anyway, so if you're new, I'm glad you're here. I really yearn. I work very hard to help you fall asleep. Thanks for coming by. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. All right, so we're going to start off tonight with the facts from last week from episode 7. And where we're going to start is, like I said, where do they film this? Where did they film Dragonstone? Because, man, I love those ridges. And, like, it just was a beautiful place. And so our friends over at Pop Sugar, you know, I got a couple friends that work over there. What's up? This article came out August 11th, 2017. Andrea Rear talks about that Game of Thrones, you know, Dany, Daenerys Targaryen. You heard of her? She's our Khaleesi, by the way. She returned to her ancestral home of Dragonstone, Seaside Castle, down by the seaside. But where was this place? Well, the beaches where Dany's fortress forces land is Rune Beach in Zumia in Muriola Beach near Barica. Both of them, whatever the proper pronunciations are. You know, here's a pretty place. It's the northern coast of Spain. I'd like to be there. 60 miles apart. I would be just chilling. I'd be like playing on those ridges too. And there were some exterior shots. This makes sense. Downhill Strand in the county of Derry in Ireland. And you can go on a Game of Thrones filming tour when you visit Belfast, Ireland. So those are the beaches, northern Spain. Yeah, some of the, you know, those hilly shots, County Derry. And then the winding staircase that Jon Snow and Davos go up, where Davos does his own mansplaining. That's on an islet, Islet Bonita, in my opinion, called Gaz Tel Ug Axe, Castle Rock, in the Bay of Biscay in northern Spain. So get to northern Spain. Now, there's no castle, that's CGI, but there is a small church, San Juan, the name of the island, dedicated to John the Baptist. So check it out, you know, like, seriously, if you're going to be touring, why not get some Game of Thrones touring and while you're there? And I don't know if any, probably the cast doesn't need to go on these tours, but, you know, if any of the cast did want me to interpret for them anywhere, I'd do it. So I wanted to talk, I was going to talk a little about the movie and the album Quadrophenia, and that talks a little bit about the mod, the whole mod era in London. But you know what brings it up for me is Alfie Allen, who plays Thoros, he doesn't play Thoros of Myr, but I don't know why, Theon Greyjoy. I don't know what it is, like Theon's a tough character, and I really identify with Theon. And I think it must be an incredibly difficult role for an actor to play. But there's just something about the look of Alfie Allen that says to me 70, like I know the Quadrophenia in the 50s. I think maybe the movie came out in the 70s, though. But there's just, he has a real, like in a good way, a 70s moody movies set in England feel to me. Like, when I think of him, and I'm not kidding, the word mod just pops into my head the whole time. Mod. I see, like, after I say, oh boy, Theon, like, then I have to, like, kind of detach myself to Theon. So then I say, okay, it's just an actor. Theon's not real, Drew. So it's not like, don't let your internal critic, you know, grasp onto it for the future, you know. And they say, well, Jesus, he's very mod. Is he mod? And then, so that's why I was thinking about it. But let's start off with a movie review. And I don't have Roger Ebert review, but I do have one from the New York Times. November 2nd, 1979, Janet Maslin does a rock drama from a Who album, Mods and Rockers. And I'll link to it, but the article says, the results of my informal survey about Quadrophenia have been tabulated. And most moviegoers think this is either a concert film or a rock opera, or that the title refers to a quadraphonic soundtrack. Not true. It's a dramatic film, gritty, ragged, and sometimes quite beautiful. It happens to incorporate rock songs and be saddled with a silly title. Though it's not a movie for everyone, Quadrophenia is something very special. It demands and deserves some special allowances. Set in England in 1964, populated by mods and rockers, bands of teenagers who speak with thick accents, and it might be hard for Americans to totally decipher all that, and that's why it hadn't traveled well. But its foreignness has a perverse advantages, helping to recast situations that might be commonplace in American end of adolescence movie and making them remote enough to just remote enough to seem fresh. Frank Rodham, the director, lends the film a clarity of emotion that keeps it from becoming too confusing. The story is very, very loosely derived from Album by The Who, which was an ambitious undertaking about a teenage boy, Jimmy, who's so acutely sensitive to social pressures, he developed a four-way schizophrenia of the title. Jimmy's condition was illustrated rather than described by four separate melodies, one associated with each member of The Who, that eventually merged into one transcendent theme. The specific ending of the album called for Jimmy, you know, I don't want to spoil it. But Quadrophenia, as directed and co-written by Mr. Rodham, is perhaps a little bit too raw to have culminated with a pie in the sky ending. Jimmy, played by avid-looking Phil Daniels, is a cheerful, unexceptional fellow, by no means a Who's hypersensitive hero. So there's a lot more. I just don't want to get into the specifics to ruin it. But that's a review of Quadrophenia. So I guess this will get into the specifics by reading about it. It's a British drama film, 79, based on the 73 album by The Who. And unlike the adaptation of Tommy, Quadrophenia is not a musical film, and the band is not in the film. Stars Phil Daniels as a 60s London-based mod who escapes from his long dead-end job as a mailroom boy by getting, partying hard and riding his scooter, dealing with the motorcycle rockers and the trouble in Brighton, the seaside town of Brighton. And then he discovers his idol Ace Face is a bellboy at a Sting's in it. So there you go. There's another reason to see it. And so, yeah, so like, I don't know, maybe like, I don't think they should redo that movie, but Alfie Allen should be on their, if you're doing any 70s style movies, get this dude. I mean, the dude, he's a talented actor. I think everybody knows that. And he was in a movie, with Keanu Reeves, but he kind of played a Theon-esque character in that movie a little bit, like a little bit jerkier version of Theon. Another question that came up for me, this will be the last fact of this episode, was when we had all, like at the beginning, when we had all the Unsullied standing there, I said, is that a legion? Like how many people are in a legion? What are those rectangles of soldiers called? Is that a legion? You may think the whole group would be a legion because I looked up Roman legion on Wikipedia. It was the largest unit of the Roman army. So it might have been a legion of Unsullied. 3,000 men in early times to 1,500 in imperial times, consisting of centuries as the basic units. Until the middle of the first century, 10 cohorts, so it was about 5,000 men that made it. So Roman legion. Then it was 9 cohorts. And the first cohort was double strength. Legion may have met the entire army early on, but they don't have proof of that. I think there's 8,000 Unsullied or 7,000, so that's pretty close to a region. By the 3rd century, the Legion was a much smaller unit, 1,000 to 1,500 men. What was the smaller? Armies consisted of auxiliaries. Overview of typical organization and street. Because legions were not permanent units until the Marian reforms of 107 BC, a legion consisted of several cohorts and legionnaires and a unit of, it could be auxiliaries. So this doesn't really help me answer that. Legions were composed of the following units: cavalry, light infantry. Is that light infantry or are they heavy infantry? You think they're light infantry? So I don't know. There was a group of, there was all those rectangles. I guess they're not legions. I guess you could say that was a legion, the whole group, but was they cohorts? I thought a cohort was like a work thing where it wasn't, you weren't in real trouble, but it, like, they're like, oh, you should be in a cohort so other people can advise you because your decision-making's not so hot. But again, that could just be me. Centurion, that's, I'm still looking for answers here. These are just like the special duties. How much do they get paid? Legionnaires got 225 denarii a year, which was, who knows how much that was. Discipline, we don't need to know that. So anyway, I guess that was, auxiliary. Let's see. No, I forgot cohort. I don't see. Anyway, that's a little fact. And let's talk about season 7 now, or the whole season. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to do a run through of what I can remember of season 7. It's Thursday night when I'm recording this, the Thursday, right after the season finale came out, I think, or is it a week after? No, it came out on Sunday. Yeah, so it just came out 4 days ago or 5 days ago. I watched it a bunch of times. And, you know, the big things we kind of covered, it kind of was hard because it wasn't 10 episodes. And I don't read, I try to avoid, I definitely avoid spoilers. And my brother's big into, watching all the YouTube stuff. So then I have to say, don't talk to me about this stuff. Because he knows, he goes to all those YouTube the people that are, really good at theorizing stuff. And he did spoil me on one thing, 2 or 3 seasons ago. So I don't think I'll ever be over that. But, that's life, Can't see everything in all or nothing, Khaleesi. You got to see it in the great grays of Grey Worm and the North. But so what I'm saying is, I don't know what, I did do some reading just because, there's some great writers over at the New Yorker, just some great Game of Thrones writers. I don't want to name any names that I enjoy reading their reaction. I think they're very funny. So normally after I record an episode, then I'll read some of those just for laughs and say, oh, wait a second, I didn't notice that or whatever. And just with the hopes to say, well, I got a joke in that they didn't get, they didn't make a joke about something that I made a joke about. That helps with my low self, helps build up my self-esteem, at least on paper. And but I feel like this season, I know discussing it, with my brother Ken, it was this was a different, starting with where the world was expanding and now it's coming back together. I think maybe Weiss or Benioff talked about that at the end of the last episode. And that can be tough. And my brother kind of said that it's just hard to watch this show now where it's going and they're trying to gather everybody and get them ready for this, what's going on. And I say, okay, well, yeah, it's tough. It's weird. And I don't know if this is because of peak television or whatever you want to call it, or the gold, the platinum, I would call this platinum age. I'm not going to mess around with the golden age. I assume when you say the platinum age, it's better than that, but who knows? But where you have these long relationships and the internet to discuss your relationships with these shows, and that they have the luxury of coming to an end. It's interesting. I wonder what an anthropologist would say about all this. It would really boggle my mind. But so I think it is I think they did a good job because it didn't seem like there was that many subplots really this season. And I mean, with 7 episodes, you really can't do that. So we can talk about all the different plots or subplots or whatever that were going on. And I guess we just have to live with I don't know. For me, it's enjoyable in some sense, seeing some of these characters coming together, seeing the Starks return home. That was really inevitable. And one of the things I did talk about a few episodes ago was I really feel this season is giving people especially the Starks, but other characters as well. And it's mostly subtextually, but no, a lot of it is in the dialogue and stuff to say, hey, this happened to me and it had an impact on me and it hasn't been easy. Or saying, hey, I know that had an impact on you, like Sansa and Arya talking about it. And I guess, like, I don't know, I like that it's just not always moving forward. It's looking back, not just at the events as they occurred, but the events in the imprint the events have left on the characters, the human side of that. And I don't, well, first of all, are people from Westeros human? I think I asked that, and I don't know if I've got an answer. I haven't tried to ask George or Weiss or Benioff because I just don't want to get, like, I don't want to get blocked or whatever. But let's just assume they are, or they're like such close, they're so close that it doesn't make a difference. Then, sorry, my brain just asked if I was human. And I said, that's like, but my brain was serious about that question too. So criticisms of the season. One, it was too short. I guess that's a natural criticism. I did hear a lot of about Danny and John getting together, but I think they dealt with it in an interesting way to say this is going to be a pretty complex like the way they did it the last episode with the voiceover or the Bran over, or the, you know, the flashback over, and Tyrion's look. Maybe Tyrion in that case was a proxy, not for the audience, but for the reality of the situation. Like, I don't know I haven't read anything about what people speculate his look meant, but it could just be a pained look of he knows this isn't, you know, this was both inevitable and going to be painful and probably not going to go great. And even when John and Danny were kind of with one another, it didn't look like it was going pretty well, but it didn't look like it was exactly going phenomenal. I mean, I'm just like thinking about that. This was like what was intentional, you know. Like, it was like, hey, it's going good, but we're both, you know, she's, you know, looking at you. Either one of them could say, you know, how could it go not good? But I don't know, like, were toes curling? I guess that would be a fair question. And, like, I think maybe Tyrion's look represents, geez, I don't feel any toes curling. Did I almost say terse curling or something? But so I don't know. I think that's interesting. And I did have a little bit of it's just like, I'm like, who, you knew this was going to happen. So it's that's the other side. It's people getting really irritated about it. I said, well, you knew it was going to happen. And then if it didn't happen, what would they do? Like I said, when the Khaleesi's in love, holy mackerel, it was the peak of my attractedness to Cersei was when she was the night when she was drinking all the wine. I think season two, the battle of Blackwater, and so it's just interesting when my peak attraction to characters is. Says a lot about me. So I'm trying to figure out a way to move on immediately. So I don't know what more to say there is about John and Danny. Let's see. So what else was people didn't seem happy about? I mean, I think it was this whole, let's get into the subplots or the plots. So in the unresolved ones, so let's just start with the other Stark children. So we had the Sansa story and the Arya story, and then the Sansa Arya Baelish story. And I think from the Sansa-only story, it was powerful. Like, Sansa's coming into her own and then fully came into her own as the Warden in the North. Or, I mean, the Lady of Winterfell. I think she became the Warden of the North, starting with her machinations, bringing, Baelish in to save the day. And so I think this is just interesting, carrying and building momentum for Sansa into the next season. We don't know what'll happen. So that was interesting, but also saying, hey, this past has had some impact on me, so I'm still not sure. You know, it's going to take me 7 episodes to find my way because I've been through a lot. So that was interesting. Then we had Arya returning home, and we kind of talked about early on, when you've changed so much, a return home can be very difficult because she's still Arya, as we learned by the end of the season, but she, in some sense, is a completely, she's been through a lot too. And so she is a much different person. I wouldn't say a completely different person, but I mean, maybe that was on the big board when they started the season. Can Arya return home, like, emotionally? And so that question kind of got answered in that, like, I mean, I guess we knew that wherever Arya ended up, she would be an asset, at least to Arya and to whoever she was taking sides with. Clearly, Arya's a plus. And I guess it was good that it wasn't an easy season for me in my relationship with Arya, just because I didn't understand what was happening. And I was kind of dreading what I thought was going to happen. And they masterfully, like, pretty much turned the tables on me, or at least, like, left me uncertain. So I was able to enjoy that, like, instead of just being Arya fanboy, which is, like, every other season. It's simple. I'm Arya fanboy, you know. And I'm team Arya. I mean, team Davos, but then, we'll talk about Davos short as we can. So that was good. And then we had the relationship with Arya, Baelish, and Sansa. And they kind of ended up playing out, like, in a way that at least there was enough misdirection and emotional complication and history between Arya and Sansa. That wasn't clear. Like, it was like, oh, okay, is this how it's playing out, that they're playing Baelish? Or I guess when you look at it, like, afterwards, it could have played, like, we don't know how it played out because we didn't see everything. And I almost think that's better unanswered. It's like, oh, when did Arya and Sansa catch on? Because it probably took Sansa 7 episodes to really, like, become, like, reach her fullness after her full confidence and have kind of her steam wash in and inform her choices, maybe, and, like, inform, like, cause, like, it felt like another thing, I guess, that I'm just thinking of now is, like, there was a lot of shame in kind of being tossed around between the three of them. I don't think Arya or Sansa was really doing any shaming of anybody else, but, you know, she was kind of being pushed to shame for being, like, a human and making, you know, having complicated choices and then having to make a choice in a complicated situation. And I don't know what my point was about that, other than that it's not easy to, like have your self-esteem then rise up and pull you out of the shame and say, no, you won't shame me, basically, Peter Baelish, or you shame to manipulate me. And maybe to Arya, we don't know, like, say, hey, no, I'm doing the best. I think she did say that, like, I did the best I can. Like, I'm a good person. Like, you know, it's just complicated choices. And so that was interesting, and I think it was delicious, you know, the way it resolved itself. It was sweet justice, and it was just good to see them, the two of them together, and then, you know, for Sansa's kind of closing, you know, to kind of, they address each other, but then she says, you're still freaking weird, like, creeping me out, and Arya says, that's right, you know, wouldn't be any other way, more or less. So true sibling. I don't know, like, what the writer's situation is, but it felt like a real sibling moment. I mean, I guess Bran, like he's still in the WTF zone, because he's just, like, I think that was, like, what they embrace. It's like he's, like, already, I mean, he's been through a lot, and he knows it, like, it's just another character for me to identify with. He's like, yeah. Like, and then I think it was just good that they kind of, they didn't hammer it home, but we had the second time with Samwell Tarly to say, what the heck's a three-eyed raven, dude? And, like, whoa, that's interesting. You see all terrific, like, whoa, get me out of here. So, I mean, we didn't see really the human side of Bran because he may not be human anymore. He's a three-eyed raven. So I don't know if there was criticism of that, but it's just like Bran's weird now because he's not a normal person anymore. It was just a fact. I think he tried to explain that to Mira. I guess in a way, similar to be like, hey, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not, like, I'm a three-eyed raven. I'm also Raven, but not like Raven Simone, like a three-eyed raven from the Norse. Used to be on Strange Brew. Then I became a man who lived in a tree and was also a tree. And now I'm down here just doing, you know, like, and then he got to have like a peak moment where he got to help turn the tables on Baelish. And he definitely seems like an asset in this situation. So, we'll see. I mean, I saw one theory that I was like, what the heck? But I don't know. Like, so we'll see how that plays out. So it's Bran, Arya, Sansa. I'm trying to think what else happened in Winterfell. Anything else I need to check in on? Bran, we had a lot of delightful moments as you bring the characters together. And then I guess you do have to focus on these more major stories. You don't get a lot of Brienne time, but we did get like a little bit, and we got a tiny bit of Pod time. We didn't even get a lot of Tyrion time this season because there's just a lot going on. I mean, he had a lot of heavy lifting to do, body language and facially, Peter Dinklage. And it's through the moments he did have of dialogue, and he was kind of in a tough position, not as an actor, but as a character, to kind of be like trying to steer the Khaleesi in one particular direction. So I kind of feel like the main stories this season were the Stark story, which we covered then, and then the Lannister story, which I guess we could cover next, which was really I don't think got enough attention. I don't know if Jaime's journey, maybe because it's like, is it not plausible? And I'm not talking about his physical journey. Did it have one too many turns? I mean, it was really enjoyable for me to experience. And remember, I'm watching these episodes 4 or 5 times. And I'm a regular dude, so like there is enough in me that's jealous of Jaime, and kind of encountered his kind of character, which is a himbo or whatever. I don't know what you call it, but I don't know. I really I found the acting it went to another level this season, and maybe that was what made me enjoy about this journey. And I think Cersei's journey, I guess she has almost entered this irredeemable territory, which we talk about, the last kind of character that was like that was the dude up at Craster's Keep, whose name I forget now, that I wrote the musical about. I don't know if it, I don't even know what season that was, but. Yeah, I'm just thinking, I wonder, but Cersei, ever since her last confrontation, before Baylor, where she kind of has this showdown, and she's like, oh, we're all once everybody kind of turns against her, and it seems like she's on the downside, and then she takes it to another level with Baylor. I mean, she's crossed into irredeemable territory, and so I guess that's a tough load for the storytellers and the actress to carry, because how do you keep it nuanced and interesting when a character's crossed over to a place where it seems like redemption is very unlikely? And also, how do you keep it from being just tropey, maybe not and they managed to pull that off. And I think Jamie's story was a big help in that, because we were able to kind of see he was kind of that he just has this unhealthy relationship with his sister. And I'm not even talking about the original relation, the original not unhealthy relationship. And there kept being these markers for a long time now, but especially starting in the middle of last season. Where he kind of sees, I think, especially with whoever the Blackfish's son is, I forget now, that's another character I liked, but where Jaime's driven by something that he doesn't even understand towards Cersei, And is it going to drive, like, I really like that we seem to have got an answer. And again, like, it was like one of the main things I love about Game of Thrones is the misdirection. I thought we had one or two answers earlier, and the way it resolved itself, or seemingly has, it almost seemed like it was impossible. But when you look way back to Jaime, the time Jaime spent with Brienne, now it's like, oh, it seemed impossible, but also we're inevitable. And I just love that, that somehow in all of this pomp and circumstance, they can have this very human character. I mean, that's likable in some sense because he's devastatingly handsome and charming. But that, he's just like, I mean, if he had a chance, he'd say, he kind of did with Olana, I'm just a human, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I'm a human. I don't understand it myself. And yes, I may be riding right into my doom. And I mean, maybe Cersei's biggest mistake was not realizing the gravity of playing with that, of I think in the end, she over manipulated Jaime, and that was the last straw for him. That kind of woke him to his senses. It was like, oh, this woman. I am nothing to her. I think maybe before the end of the season, I said, well, she's irredeemable, but there's still something good for her that we have together. And it seemed like she was leading him that way this season. And then, whether she's really pregnant or not really pregnant, it doesn't matter. Is that, it was kind of something simple. She didn't tell him that she had this secret plan. Well, it was bigger than that, maybe, that she doesn't care about, she cares more about herself than humanity. So I guess it was this collision of that big issue along with this little issue of no, I don't care about you either, at all. Just using you. I mean, maybe, I don't know, but I really thought, I thought that was a nice story this season. I mean, we got a little bit of Bronn, probably not, I don't know, I guess we got a good enough amount of Bronn. Just seeing Jaime kind of travel and return and then try to leave. And then finally, he's like, okay, this is ridiculous. I don't understand. You are irredeemable, or you've gone beyond the pale. And I also really enjoyed whatever Qyburn's doing behind the scenes, but Cersei's ability to outsmart me and out-trick me, was enjoyable to know that she was always a few steps ahead of me, and that will continue to be the case. That makes the show eminently watchable, to me. It's I have great trust in everyone making the show and the characters, ability to influence the story too. So I loved that. Trying to think what else between Jaime and Cersei. I mean, Sir Gregor, he didn't really have anything. I mean, Cersei, she's just really not well. I mean, I think that's what it proved. But beyond the pale, she's driven. I mean, she's always been driven by some very sandbox level, very strange, family dysfunction. I mean, I'm not a therapist or a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but her actions in Game of Thrones epitomize what I love about it, which is it's just like children playing in the sandbox. And she, while probably being one of the most mature characters and one of the most intelligent and cunning characters, is also the most childlike, and simplistic in some sense, because it's almost like a child acting out when they're too tired and you say, I don't even understand why you're acting this way. It's kind of like the motivations at her depth. I mean, other than the real things that are driving her. But even then you say, Jaime, it's like, what do you mean? If family's driving you, I just don't get that. And she's like, yeah, right. You don't get it, dude. And I think that it was just a nice way that he left, but she still, like, it went from being Jamie trapped to Cersei trapped by her own behavior. And, like, so that was, like, I was a little bit sad for her standing watching him leave. I thought that was a powerful, powerful moment. And I think it was powerful, the small scale of that story, in some sense, that most of Cersei's, I don't know if this was intentional, but most of her story was confined to wherever that part of the Red Keep is with the map and her offices. And while there was other stuff going on, I don't know, I think that was just another interesting part of it. So I guess that covers Cersei and Jaime. So then, we have the big overarching story. I'm trying to think what Khaleesi's story is. I mean, she's returning to her homeland or place of birth or her ancestral home. And, like, I think, like, I guess maybe seeing the complexities of power. I mean, I think that was a discussion, like, power is not pretty. And making decisions, these global level decisions almost, or how am I going to use this power? And what does it say about what kind of leader I am? And, again, none of this is easy and none of it is clear. And I'm not getting the best, who's advising me and how much do I listen to these advisors? I mean, the high point was Olana again saying, you're dragon, be a dragon. But again, that was almost, it was clear and cryptic at the same time. Cause it's like, what does that even mean? Like, I'm not a three-eyed raven then? Maybe that was like a conversation, Bran and three-eyed raven. He said, Bran, you're going to be a three-eyed raven. So be the three-eyed raven. And Bran said, well, I don't even know what that means. And they said, well, just like, it's like, does it make any sense to you? Bran said, no. Okay. Like, yeah, it's weird, man. So, but be a dragon, you're a dragon, be a dragon. It leaves a wonderful taste in my mouth but I guess to trust your instincts and try stuff that your instincts are pushing you through than over calculation. And maybe that's like the counter to that how Cersei is behaving. I mean, Cersei's cunning. But she doesn't seem to ever overcalculate, and she doesn't rule. I mean, other than Qyburn, it's not like she's like, what should I do? Or like she's action oriented and putting in place her plan and then adjusting her plan. Her plan needed some adjustment a few times this season, and she was able to do that. And I guess it's easier with Cersei because Cersei knows the end game, total control of everything with Cersei at the head, where the Khaleesi's like a little more nuanced, like, well, what kind of ruler do I want to be? What kind of impact? Well, this is what Tyrion's saying. Who's this Jon Snow? What does he want? I wanted to deal with Cersei. Now there's this other thing in the north. Like back when she was the breaker of chains, she just broke chains, right? Like, and dealt with it. And I guess she had to, like, then she had to rule, the city with all the pyramids, and that wasn't easy either. So I don't know. I forgot about Sam though, but I think his, like, journey was pretty clear. He's a hero. I mean, he's the best Tarly. It's that simple. Like, luckily now he doesn't have to worry about, whatever I call his dad, Buttface Tarly or whatever. Yeah, Buttface and Dick and Tarly. His brother didn't seem that bad, but just a little uppity. But I mean, his was very clear. Like, a hero sometimes gives up on his dreams or what he wants for the good of others and takes risks. And Sam took a lot of risks this season. So that was a nice one. Okay, so back to Khaleesi. I don't know. I think Khaleesi's season was just, so part of the main story that it's kind of inseparable. But yeah, like what a load to bear, and then have to deal with Jon Snow, and then deal with these complex feelings about Jon Snow, and to deal with the relationship with the dragons, to deal with all this birth talk or mothering talk, and then to have one of your dragons stay north of the wall. and I don't know, to, I mean, I guess in the end, she decided to change her plans too and say, well, what's best for everybody? Maybe I don't need to worry about being a ruler right now. I have to worry about this helping everybody. And then, I don't know who this Jon Snow is. He's, you know, pretty heroic, and his middle name, self-sacrifice, and his hair and everything. So, not that I'm irritated at all by that. I mean, he's definitely irritated a few times by Davos. Now, his comedic relief was phenomenal. And maybe I was just like, I guess I heard a theory from my brother, Ken. And he basically said, like, so I was telling him, I'm like, man, Davos is getting, like, why has he got to be such, like a, why has he got to be creeping Missandei out? Like, I'm saving her for Grey Worm. And, like, I don't want anybody bugging her. And my brother was like, basically, look at it this way. Davos is a very loyal character, and he was stuck with Stannis, who's basically, like, as dull as a saltine cracker or whatever. And, or dry as a saltine cracker this whole time. So now he gets to be with Jon Snow. He's the second in charge. And so he's like, his belt's looser. He's just like, hey, man, this is great. And then he's never been around women before, really. So suddenly, like, it kind of throws him off. So he's just like feeling like he's just enjoying himself and having a little bit of fun, you know, being a character. And I said, okay, I could see that, but I just don't like it. I mean, for the most part, and just like some of his comedic relief, and then Tormund's, like the Hound, it was much more serious because he has sad eyes. I mean, he still had some funny lines, but I think like, Tyrion did not have too much comedic relief. Varys was very quiet this season. He just had that one mysterious moment. And Ser Jorah really, he got helped by Sam, and like he got to be on the super team, which is cool. And it was good to, like, I mean, that I already talked about. I couldn't been happier. Like, I like the Brotherhood without banners. Gendry's not bad, great runner, but the Hound and the and then to have Tormund and I mean, Davos was stayed home because he said, I'm not good at anything, but that was great. Yeah, so that was it. And then I guess like the overall arching arc of the season was, hey, humanity's in a bit of trouble here. Wait till 2019 or whatever when we finish this up. But again, I think a lot of it is due to these incredible, the funding they're getting now to do this incredible CGI and scene painting and going to these amazing locations. And that's what drives, they have to intersect the story with the expectations and what works. And those are things that are working. And that's not easy balance to strike with all those things, but they're doing a pretty darn good job, in my opinion. And, you know, there's different kinds of television. Like, there's Game of Thrones, and then there's Leftovers, which I'm watching now. And so it's like, it's different things, but it's just like, again, like a human experience in the end a lot of times. But there, you know, there's a lot of pomp and circumstance with Game of Thrones and cool stuff. I'm trying to think what else has happened this season. Who else we didn't see from Jaqen. I don't know if we'll ever see him again. Hopefully. Probably the Red Priestess will come back. I don't know if the Golden Company will come to Cersei's rescue or not. I don't know about Khaleesi's old boyfriend. What's his name? That's played by Dario Naharis or whatever. I'm trying to think what else we missed, what else I'm not thinking of. But I mean, here's something. I don't understand what's going on with the people in Sunspear. What is that called? Whatever that place is. It's like they couldn't get the boats to pick them up, or were they on the boats? Because otherwise, can't they freaking walk up north? Whatever that place is where like gold, where they wear the gold stuff, where Elia Sand's from. But again, I think that was just a story thing. And I guess it was difficult this season that Westeros got a lot smaller, you know, to make it the ability to tell the story. And that wasn't easy that whatever Deus Ex Machina or egg salad or whatever you say, Deus Ex Machina. But, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, I mean, it was interesting that it went from taking a whole freaking season to get somewhere. But, you know, I guess in the end, it's got to get done. And I find those things just about it. And I think, like, it's like I'm here to enjoy myself and be immersed in the story, and particularly to enjoy being misdirected. I don't know if there's any other misdirections that I was thinking of. I'm trying to think. Bran, and I don't know. Like, we didn't see a lot of Ed Tollett this season, or Ned Tollett, whatever the heck his name is. He opened the door a couple times. I guess he's at Castle Black, and everything was moved over to Eastwatch. And I guess Castle Black is probably the place to be. Like, move north. How about this? Move north of the wall. There's some advice. You know, might be cold, but at least, you know, there's a freaking no, like, a vice or whatever that thing was spraying out of its mouth. But so in the end, I think it was a great season. I mean, again, I could have used three more episodes just for my own pleasure. But I think I'm most struck by Jaime and Sansa. Like, if I had to say, who are the VIPs for the season? I don't know who I'd pick. Say Tormund and Davos is like humor, and cool Drogon. It was definitely up there. There's so much cool stuff with Drogon, but I'd say like an Arya, but like I think Arya and Sansa together and Jaime like really had. I mean, I think like Jon Snow's already heroic. I guess Sam. I mean, Sam VIP or whatever MVP for the season. Samwell Tarly. But like I'd say maybe he's like the sleeper of the season. Maybe Jamie's the sleeper of the season. I don't know. Can you give an award to every character? We definitely didn't get enough Missandei, but I mean, I'm kind of over, like, she's like, not available. So it's like, what am I going to do other than like my heart beats a lot when I see, I loved her hair this season. And especially watching it blowing in the wind, and when, like, her silent kind of confidence. But yeah, I'd say, like I really enjoyed Sam's journey, like, of heroism. I liked Bran, how, like, strange he was, but, like, embracing the strange, and how it was kind of comedic at times, but not always. He did spend a lot of time with that freaking tree, though. And again, I don't know about that Chuck E. Cheese face in the tree, but I would upgrade that with some CGI or just do some bonus scenes with it freaking singing. Like, it's my opinion, like internet bonus scenes with the singing to Bran, or, you know, messing with Bran and cracking him up, saying Polly want a cracker or something like that. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, I don't know. I don't need to talk about it too much. Great season, season 7. And so I'll see you at season 8. What do you say? Whenever that's there, I'll be here watching. And let's get the rest of this episode going here, huh? Okay, Podman, I'm ready. Okay, you sure? Yeah, so I'm going to miss it. And I don't like the FDC. Is it the FDC or the FDCD? Don't say those letters, Simon. Oh, okay. I would like to trade in, okay, don't worry. I want you to become Berlinghoffer now, okay? I'm becoming Isringhausen Berlinghoffer. Okay. Yeah, just think about, you know, John Luke and data tricking. Oh, yes, okay, I'm ready. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time to interrupt your special program. For a very special program, Amazing Solutions to Everyday Problems with your hosts, Gene and Isringhausen Berlinghoffer, for K-Pounce Radio, the radio of boys and cats and best friends everywhere, K-Pounce. Oh, thanks, Al. Oh, I'm here with Gene. I'm Isringhausen Berling. Gene, say hello. Meow. I'm Isringhausen Berlinghofer, futurist from the future. And when, even when I was in the future, I was thinking about the future beyond that and the past. I've traveled time and space, and I've dealt with people in the Federation, and more than one Federation I've run afoul of because of my vision. And we started a program here on your time on Earth to raise for candy funds and toy funds and green, because my greens, the dough I play with, it always dries out. And also the Go's, the Legos, they always come out with new ones. So they cost, okay, I'm not supposed to talk about those things, but we started a fund here. And we were raising, we were hoping to raise a bunch of, but then the FDA, CDA or something said, whatever. But, you know, we don't give up here because, you know, we don't want you to give up on your everyday solutions to everyday problems, because nothing is everyday except for something that you may need in your life. And we're selling it today for the price of 0.0. Oh, the control panel's freaking out. They say I'm not authorized to give this away, and they don't know what I'm doing, but I know what I'm doing. My name is Isringhausen Berlinghofer, and I'm here to tell you a quick story about a boy that I once was, you know, before I was a man with, you know, hair on my body. That's how much of a man I am. I mean, like, it looks like it's growing. I said, is that hair growing there or what? And a boy that will one day have hair on his lips, but not how come the hair does not grow? It grows around the lips. It doesn't make any sense to me. Gene, what do you think? Is hair smart or what? Man, you're right. It is. It's like in the membrane, just like that song Podman sings. Anyway, I'm here because, you know, I was once a boy. And I lived a life, and it was a full life for a boy to live. We'll just say that. I lived in a place that will be almost nameless, Rose, west of the Rose, we'll say. And, you know, I had some ups and some downs. And through it all, I had someone at my side, someone to carry me through. It was my friend Gene, who's really Sapounce. Sapounce, introduce yourself. Man, yes, ta-da, that's a Pounce, and he's my best friend. That's what you said. I'm sorry I started talking, but you're my best friend, yes. And that's what I'm pitching today, is the solution to so many of your problems, is friendship. It is an everyday solution, and it's an amazing solution to everyday problems, is friends. Now, you might say, Isringhausen Berlinghofer, you've come from the future to tell us to be friends. Well, no. I'm reminding you to be friends, because sometimes I feel like even I forget. Luckily, I have a best friend that's a cat, and cats have a way of reminding you by sticking their head under your hand or licking between your thumb and your finger with a sandpaper tongue that makes me giggle. Thank you, Sir Bounce. When you have a frowny face, that's what your best friend does if it's a cat. Now, maybe not. Don't do that in real life. But I've been looking around your world, and I said to them, there's more than the people said, Isringhausen, Tommen, that's my real name. I'm Prince Tommen, really. It's just a character I play, Isringhausen Berlinghofer, or Rasmussen Berlinghofer, however you, the Podman, writes it down in his scribble. And yes, I'm going off script and I'm going rogue, Podman, because there's nothing more in vogue than friendship that could be. And I'm here to remind you that from the future and from the past and from the places of fan and fiction is to be a friend. Now, we all need friends, right? And you could be saying, geez, what have you done for me lately, Eddie? I thought you were my best friend, but it turns out you're just a character on that TV show with your father, and your mother, the Moonsters or whatever. And they have their own cheese, you know, those characters. I said, I want only to eat Munster cheese sandwiches from now on, now that I know about it. Oh, keep going. Badman said, keep going with the friendship stuff. So, and I know this is tough, and I'm gonna soft sell you on it. It's easy to, it's not easy to have a friend, but it's much harder to be a friend. And sometimes it may be not even being a friend to people you're friends with, which is strange. You could start with the smile later we talked about last episode. And maybe even we just take an F off it and call it a rend, because maybe that's easier. It's less committed with, is to walk around and say, who needs a little rendship? Sipounce, that's how you usually say it anyway. Rend, rain. Friendship and rain, two things you can count on. With Sipounce, is just go around and say, hey, a rend would say, hey, let me carry that bag for you. Hey, you look frowny, or you look, oh, geez, you seems like you're having a hard day. And, you know, do that outside, you know, outside of your house. And don't say, another thing friends don't do is say, raza frazen, freein frazen. When they're looking on the book of faces, which the Podman does, he says he can only use the internet very rarely because he's so busy. But when he does, sometimes he gets on there and his face changes. And then he goes, Raza, Frazen, Frizen, Frozen. And he's flicking with his thumb. I think that used to be called Ren Book. And we were like, but just to, you know what I mean, folks? That's what I'm selling this week is friendship or renship, a lighter version of friendship. That you do for others, and it'll come back to you. I know this because think about the journey I've had. Not an easy one, but now I live with a man named the Gregor and a man named Ray, who is my friend. He's a father figure and a friend to me, and I have my best friend all the time, the whole way through, Sipounce. And even the Podman, who tries not to be my friend because he says he, you know, it makes him feel a squing squange inside his, where his heart used to be, he pats my back and says, "It's okay, Tom, and you're going to be okay. You're." And he even tells me one time when I do say, "Is the hair growing there? Is this my man hair growing?" He says, "I think it is, Tom, and I think you're becoming a man." And I said, well, it's about time. And he said, you've been a man longer than you know, Tom. And you're like, he always says things like that to boost me up. I think that's really what he's doing, but that's a renship. And of course, sometimes it's not easy, especially with me when I demand things, because I'm used to being treated quite well. And adjusting to this plebeian life has not been easy for me. And I still order people around sometimes, or throw fits, or, throw tantrums. I demand 4 chickens for dinner, or, you know, the heaviest chickens right in the store, the cooked rotisseries. I don't know how they do the rotisseries, but I will grab them and run through the store with them in my arms. And then the Podman will say, no, we have food at home. And I say, no, I want my chickens, sir. But still, he says, someday, you know, he says, okay, well, you could keep it warm until, and then we'll put it back on the shelf. He still can be a rend, even when I'm difficult. And that's the time, like, I need a rend really the most when I'm acting out. Really, I've learned these things from, I've been watching reruns of this man, Phil Donahue. He's taught me so much on the tube. That's the only thing Ray will let me watch is I say, oh, this is Phil Donahue. If only he could have been my father. I've learned many things from that. And so I'm trying. When I'm difficult in acting out is really when I am saying, could you be my friend? I'm acting like I don't want you to be my friend, or it's going to be incredibly not fun to be my friend. Be my rend. And I'm not saying it's easy. Again, this is amazing solutions to everyday problems. And it's not going to fix everything. There's some things that cannot be fixed. Believe me, if anyone knows these things, it's I. My mother is caring about with the blue-faced man and all of those things. So You know, it's not easy being a human or a Westerosi or from, you know, a Khaleesi even. But Padman told me to say that, or an interpreter. He also said to say that. So be a friend or be a rend. If you're not ready to be a friend, be a rend, even when it's odd. And just do it because in the end, it will come back to you. It really does. I mean, I don't really do anything for any of them. So I say, it's just practice, Padman. I'm practicing, I'm developing your renship organs. And, you know, Subhouse has taught me how to be. One day I will, when I told the Padman, I'll be a friend. He said, why don't you do anything for me? Nice. And I said, I did. I ate all your ice cream. It saves you from every, you know, I've saved you. And then he says, please, really? And I say, well, anyway, but he, what was I saying? I got mixed up there. Oh, it's not easy. Oh, when I have hair, when I have my man hair in, then I will do, I will become a friend then because I'll be an adult and then I'll start acting like one. But you could act like an adult whenever you want. It's not, again, it's worth it and you're worth it. You're worth having people be rend to you. But the weird thing is, it's not fair. When you're not a royal, it's not fair. You got to be a rend first, I guess. So rendship, free shipping and handling, because you do it yourself. That's it. But we won't be charging you. Thank you for being my rend this year. I know a lot of you have sent me nice words and wondered if I'm good and I'm doing great. Because you know, I have something to do. The Podman keeps me busy with this, trying to read his handwriting and giving him notes and saying, this won't do, rewrite it again. And also bring me some chicken or some, you know. So anyway, thank you for listening to K-Pounce Radio. From all of us at K-Pounce Radio, we're your friends. It's a radio station, K-Pounce, of boys and girls, cats and kids, and friends beyond the binary. Because we mean it. We love you here at K-Pounce. Thanks for listening. And be a rend, because we're friends to you. Thank you, friends, and good day. From Sapamen. So Tom and Subhouse, Subhouse, say goodbye. Ryan, right on, Subhouse. Isringhausen Berlinghofer signing off. Wow, Tom, I'm totally touched. Yes, I'm touched too. Your listeners are good people. And is Mike still on? I want to, like, they're wonderful people, those listeners. You have a special thing, Padman, really. And you know, even though I live in your brain, one day, you know, this, you know, if being unhealthy helps you be healthy, then it's okay. So be a rend. I'll try. Thanks, Tom. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Okay. Signing off, K-Pounce Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends and cats beyond the binary. K-Pounce Radio, the radio of rendship. Signing off. Crone, sweet, sweet crone, Miller Smith, Barky, Jester, Hound Dog God, it's me, praying in. I don't know if this will be the last time I talk to you for a while or what. You know, when's the next GOT holiday other than the season premiere? It does joke, Crone. Well, probably not. I mean, you know, next time I stub my toe, I'll be saying something, Crone. It's something else, believe it, you know, when, Crone, do you read any old comics where they have the different letters for swear words? You know, asterisk, hashtag, about sign, Crone, exclamation, all caps. Anyway, Crone, sweet, sweet Crone, Miller Smith, Barky, Jester, Hound Dog Guide, we're praying in, because I forgot where I left off on my last prayer. But since this may or may not be the last one I send out to you, I figure let's get it going. Let's get it started and end it at the same time. And oh, the circle of the gods, how wise, oldest of the old, newest of the new. And this season, gods, I was praying, you know, for help being a better person, to be honest. Ideally, that would have come with, you know, ideally that comes with some tangible benefits and intangible ones. And I figured I could become a better listener. Yeah, because I figured that's all you guys who would sit up there and maybe listen or don't listen. kind of like the way the podcast works. Like the listeners can passively listen. You guys, I didn't realize it. Guys, have I been just putting you to sleep the whole time, Crone? Crone, do you love when I do that, Crone, when I pretend I can't tell if you're asleep or Crone, I'm talking to you. I would never say that, but I was praying up for help with listening. And this season, I was going to ask for help with the five A's, they call it, in the book, the book I'm reading. Attention, acceptance, appreciation, affection, and allowing. Did I forget to appreciate you, Crone, sweet, sweet Crone, with affection? I appreciate your wisdom. I appreciate the life lessons you send down to me. I appreciate your help in allowing other people to be themselves and help me to accept my follies, even when I project onto you my shortcomings, Crone. And that I can ask and say, I'm sorry, Crone, I was wrong to joke with you. And like when, you know, when my motivations aren't pure, which is always, I mean, let's be like, but Crone, sweet, sweet Crone, thank you so much for help with the five A's. Help me this off season. You know, I would appreciate a couple extra episodes. I would appreciate 10 episodes. I know it's tough and expensive to make the show and they want to make the best. I can relate to all that, but I just miss it so much. But, oh, Crone, thank you. And help me, you know, help me with those things. Help me do that so I can be a better a sibling to the world, a brother, a sister, cousin to the world, the kindest cousin, like not a kissing cousin. Oh, Crone, thank you, Crone. Miller, acceptance, appreciation, allowing, affection. Ooh, I forgot them all already. Appreciation, except like allowing. I don't know, Miller. You know, my brain's been ground up and repackaged. But Miller, help me be a better listener. I know you're trying. And, you know, just like the big wheel, as I've said every time, the big wheel keeps on turning. You know, you're like the paddle wheel. You know, kind of like which came first, Miller's wheel or the paddle wheel, Miller? Probably the Miller's wheel. You're right. Oh boy, I didn't mean to offend you. You know, but like the slow turning of a paddle wheel, which is kind of like always in my brain, just like Homer Simpson. Miller, are you familiar with The Simpsons? Allow me to introduce you to The Simpsons, Miller, and, maybe you're more responsible with devices than Barky is. I could get you some, I think, FXX or something. They have all the Simpsons episodes. I think you would appreciate them. I think you would have affection for them. I think you should allow yourself and accept yourself to have some time with the Simpsons and whatever the other one is. Appreciate, did I say that? I think that would be your thing, Miller. While you're grinding, can you watch something while you're grinding, while the wheel's grinding? Because you're just a god. You're doing the god stuff. So is it more metaphorical for you? But anyway, Miller, thanks for the help. Smith, you know, grinder of grains, that's Miller. Smith, forger of irons, you know, architect of alloys. How do you like that, Smith? How do you like that one? And helping me with the five A's, giving me the armor that I needed to take off. By giving me armor, you showed me how to remove it. The wisdom of the Smith. The first, I set aside my shield of not allowing, and I set it aside at the behest of the Smith, who I accidentally called a Miller sometimes. And I could start to allow other people and myself to be human. And then I, like, as I took off the great plate mail surrounding my heart and my mind and my niceness, I maybe could appreciate the other and myself and the humans. And by appreciating them, I could also accept them, which is kind of like allowing. So maybe as this off season goes on, I'll understand those differences. And eventually I could have affection for all that stuff. And whatever the other A I forgot was, It's not aptitude because I don't have that yet. But thanks, Ms. Smith. You know, without you saying to me, hey, that's not chain mail and don't put it in your mouth, I would have, you know, would have never known how to open my heart to other people. And, you know, like we said, I've unhardened my heart. So thanks, Smith. Thanks for being around. Thanks for letting me talk to you. And, you know, what can I say other than you're great? Good night. Oh, Barky. Hey, what can I say, Barky? If there's 5 A's, I'd give you 50 A's. And it'd give you some A pluses because, oh, how your branches allow me respite. Oh, how even the roughest of bark feels affectionate on my cheek. And climbing in your limbs makes me appreciate being able to climb and being able to see, to appreciate the cool breezes and the warm breezes, the pattering of rain. Oh, Barky, how much, you know, you've done a lot for me, Barky, and appreciate it. And allow me to say thanks. I already did with that with the crone, but, whatever the other ones, Barky, I get, like, I'm just as twisted as the branches in your trees. Oh, attention. I guess that's what I had to look it up, Barky. But that's what I'm showing you guys by prayering up. So, thanks for the attention you shower on me. All the shade. You throw shade on me a lot, but, it's a different kind. It's the kind that, prevents sunburn. But mostly, Barky, I want to thank you for the smiles and also, you know, for all the money I'm not getting back for the rest of your electronics. But I appreciate you and I appreciate the kindness you've done for me and all you know, thanks, Barky. Jester and Hound Dog, I don't want to get too mushy for the two of you. But, allow me to say I couldn't have done it without either one of you. Laughing at myself, appreciating my foibles and my grouchiness, paying attention to my, you know, ability to not pay attention. Thank you for that. You know, thank you for teaching me, Hound Dog, what a grouchy affection is and, Jester, what unattainable, you know, how I can't attain affection how you do. But maybe I could learn a thing or two, you know what I mean. I appreciate the examples you stand up there, all you gods. You know, I accept I'm just a human and I don't know what I'm doing. And I want to be better. I mean, that's what this season was all about for me, was saying, hey, I'd like to be a better person. I'd like to make out the maiden, which, if either way, maiden, if I'm not a good person, then I'm a bad boy. You know, maiden, maybe I even need to be disciplined. I don't know if that's on your, menu, soup du jour. But if it's, or I could be, I'm on the road to good, not even being a good person. I just like to be a decent one and help other people, and say, hey, I'm here to listen. I'm here to help. And of course, guys, I want the rich stuff. I mean, who would have thought this season was just about being nice? You know better than me. Also, give me some rich stuff and some of the, God stuff, some thunderbolts. I waited till this time to pray for any of that stuff, but give me some cauldrons of, power and all those things too. But if you can't give me those things, I'll take me being a little bit nicer, gods. Thank you. And I'll miss you. I'll talk to you soon. Good night.
All right, everybody. Scoots here. I'm doing our month in review on Sleep With Me Plus, which is similar. If you're still listening on Patreon, if you could think about moving over, but it's going to be similar to what you would have seen there this month. And as far as the ad-free episodes, a lot of them are coming out in the ad-supported feed that you all listen to as well. I gotta find the right podcast app. So I was also buying time because, okay. So on Sleep With Me Plus, One of the main differences, everything is separated out into its own feeds. So there's four different podcasts. I'm going to start with the bonus episode podcast. So it just has bonus shows. And on March 2nd, a mayor tour, Welcome to Scooterville, a Posty special edition super deluxe episode came out. These are really cool. They come out on a couple Saturdays a month. And these are something that's just really important, been really important to me. Ideally, down the road, we'll have budget to do more or somebody else even do a version two. But it's basically Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful. It takes an episode of Sleep With Me and reimagines it in a sense. That's pretty much it. That's all the instructions for Chris. Hey, take an episode, reimagine it. But this year, Chris has been doing this for years. So in the bonus feed, it's years and years and years of this. As a matter of fact, in the bonus feed I'm looking at, there's 377 episodes. I think that's in the Boar Besties feed. But so right now in 2024, is that what year it is? Chris is doing this Scooterville series. So definitely worth checking out if you're like, love Sleeping Me, you're looking for something like a little bit different with some sound design, you want to listen to it during the day, or a lot of people, when they start to support the show and they discover these, this is what they sleep to because everybody's a little bit different. What else we got in this feed? Audio news, Scooterville, Contact, TNG Contact Part 2 came out since I think we last recorded this. And then a Fearless Flyer episode is about to come out. I think maybe this week, the February Fearless Flyer episode. Okay, then Boar Besties and Boar Friends also get a feed with all intro and all night shows. So Thursday night, all intro episode came out. Weird, the all night episode. I might have archived it. But Big Farm in the Sky PI. Huh, I guess there's an all-night episode that's going to come out or should be in this feed that doesn't seem to be there. So this is good. I'm checking this. This is live quality control. Maybe it's in another feed. I put it in the wrong feed. But yeah, not sure which one it is either. So I'll have to look into that. So that's interesting. Okay, then you get a feed with ad-free full episodes. And so they don't have any, they don't have the supporter zone. They don't have the sponsor stuff. They don't have the mystery bard music or the thank yous at the end. But they are something that, because you can listen to that in the ad supported version, right? But so let's see, episode 1245 came out Sunday. That was Great British Bake Off episode 8. Multiplex episode 3 came out. Hickory Dickory Farms. Ren Faire with Ray came out March 3rd, 1243. 1242 Bake Off episode 7 came out. February 25th, Multiplex episode 2 came out. Julius J. Juice. What else we got? 1240 Apple Cider Redo. That was Trader Joe's Shop and Cook episode. Big retraction in that one. You know, retracted my opinion on apple cider donuts from Trader Joe's. So, yeah, and then the audio news. And then in story only, we had, C12, the same thing. Everything comes out on Sleep With Me Plus. This is so cool. There's something we only have been able to do since we moved to a new platform. Is we're able to put out the story only episodes and the full episodes on the same day because they're in separate podcasts. We couldn't do that on the old platform because everything would just been too clogged up and it would just been too confusing for a large number of people. So now, yeah, story only. There's like a lot of story only fans, and yeah, they got the same thing. Great British Bake Off 8, Multiplex 3, Ren Faire with Ray, Great British 7, Multiplex 2. Trader Joe's Shop and Cook, Apple Cider, then Dessert Week, Great British Bake Off, whatever, episode 6, Multiplex 1, Wandering Towers, Board Game Unboxing. So yeah, that's everything that came out this week. I don't have my calendar in front of me. I've been working really hard at the planning calendar, and we got some exciting stuff coming up to sleep to. That's so exciting, you don't need to listen to it. What do we have? Multiplex 7 I recorded yesterday. Started writing Multiplex 8 today. These are a couple months away, but the Guild, the web series of the Guild, did a part of season 1 of that, and we're definitely going to do season 1 of that. that and probably season two, maybe go on. I don't know. Maybe do season one and season two and take a break. Those will be coming out late spring, early summer. I came up with two new ideas for random Tuesday episodes. One with pillow, like other plush friends, a pillow pet. And then another one that would be called the Marble Vagabond. And those are episode ideas that came out of intros. Neither of those has been recorded, though. Those intros were recorded. The Marble Vagabond intro will be in part two of our coverage of the movie Bring It On. What else have we recorded? We did an episode called Willy Wonka Interactive Experience Immersive Adventure, which I was really happy with. And that's going to be a new genre of Sleep With Me style show of like poorly run immersive experiences, like the one like that kind of got a lot of press. And we got to work on the audio for something very similar, but it was called the Willy Wonka Experience. Also not a very high budget experience, but at least it had audio from Scoots or a narrator like Scoots. So that'll come out late spring, early summer. And then our crossover series, we got three episodes done, episode 2, 3, and 4 from season 1. So that'll be coming out this spring too and summer. So yeah, that's everything right now. And thanks so much. If you're listening, it's a free feed. It'd be great if you think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. This enables us to do everything we do, and those of you that support the sponsors, we also really count on those of you that just spread the word about the show. So thank you for doing that, and that's it. Good night, everybody.